It's time for Harley's CAT Scan, a weekly podcast featuring the who's who of your Prince George Cougars.
And welcome to CAT Scan. It's brought to you by Integris. Local speaks louder than words. Head coach and a general manager of the Prince George Cougars, Mark Lamb. We talked to you about a month ago at the start of the season. Now, after nine games, the team is a perfect 5-0 against Victoria, but 0-4 against Kamloops and Vancouver, overall 5-4. How satisfied are you with what you've seen of your team so far?
Well, I'm really happy with the progression of how we're playing, compared to when we talked a month ago, and I certainly expected the progression of especially the young guys that have been playing really well lately. So it's all been pretty good.
You outscored Victoria by a count of 20-5 in that rare five-game sweep. But on the other hand, against Kamloops, you're outscored 17-8. When you had the five games against Victoria and then going against Kamloops again, even though you had faced him twice prior, was going against that pace, that adjustment, maybe a little bit more, caught the team off guard a little bit?
I don't know if it catches you off guard. One thing about Kamloops, they're a high end team, that's a championship caliber team. So they're a real hard team to play against, and we certainly expected that. When you haven't played against a team for a while and you've played against one team, you really have to feel it. And I thought we played pretty well in the first period, and then I thought their depth and their team just took over in the second, and then the third was a little bit more even. But after they got that fourth goal, you could see that the game was pretty in hand in their minds, and they played a real strong team game.
So when you see that things are not going your way against a team like Kamloops, and they've got the lead and things seem to be going their way, and you know what skill they have and everything, and it ended up a 4-1 game, what can you try to do as a coach to change momentum, to try and change so that the tempo of the game leans more to your side and not theirs?
Well, there's certain things that players can do and coaches can do, but it was really what we were doing on the ice individually. When we got caught out there, we turned the puck over a couple times on a shift, and if you clean up some of those mistakes, that's what you have to do in games like that. And we got a little ahead of ourselves at you win five games in a row, and you really feel good about yourselves. And we're really ready to play that game. Everyone was excited to play that game, even though once you get into it, it's a little bit of a different team that you're playing against. So the adjustments have to come within other players. And, and we'll go over all that kind of stuff today, showing the players where we could have made a little bit of an extra play or a smarter play at certain times.
So we've had an opportunity to see Kamloops at CN Center, and we've obviously had a chance early on to see a Victoria, and it's the top and the bottom of the BC division. It appears from watching up in the press box, and I imagine from the fans' point of view in the stands, there is a massive gap between those two teams in that division. Is that something that you sense will continue? Is that gap as big as it appears? How do you assess that?
Well, yeah, it looks pretty big, but you never know how people are going to do business, with trades and stuff like that, and the stage of where their organization in or their cycle is in. So right now it's a pretty big gap. I don't think it's surprising anybody that I think everybody had Kamloops picked at the start of the year, to be a top team. And, they've had some things go their way, getting Schmiedman back from the American Hockey League, who's a top player, getting You know, they got the Euro from Vancouver, and then they get Stacha too, where they had an import player that they could add, and there's not a lot of people that could add that player at the time. So, you know, they added three really good players into an already good team going into the season.
Now, I know you don't follow the East as closely. I mean, you were in the Eastern Conference for quite some time. I imagine a lot of your time is spent mainly on the BC Division, a little bit of the Western Conference. But I do want to ask you about this Winnipeg Ice team that won its first 11 games, 12 of 13, going into the weekend of the top 20 WHL scorers. They had 10 of them. They absolutely look like a powerhouse. Is there something now? Edmonton was projected as number one at the beginning, the preseason rankings. Winnipeg obviously came in as a really good team. Is there something there or something that you know of? I know it's not the thing that you follow the most, but I find it so intriguing. This team is just blazing hot, and they could go into Lethbridge and win 7-0.
Yeah, you know, just watching, you know, watching different games and stuff. They got a lot of depth. They're a real good team. They got pieces everywhere, right from the goaltending out. I think it is somewhat of a surprise because, you know, Edmonton was so dominant last year, you know, when we did play, and Winnipeg wasn't as dominant, but they got some really good pieces. They got some, you know, drafted players, and they got some really good young guys. So, you know, they've been working at it for a while, and it seems like it could be their year.
One thing that really sticks out to this season is the amount of really good rookies, obviously on your team, but around the league. And actually, Matt Savoy of Winnipeg is leading the rookie scoring. But when you take a look at, you know, Bedard, who went one, he's averaging about a point per game. Then you had a choice between Height and Jaeger. And I remember talking to you at the time, and you said, boy, they're both really, really good. And there's a little bit of a drop after that. And it's really turned out that way. Jaeger, you know, the leading Moose Jaw, 12 points in 10 games, 7 goals. You know, Riley Height's got 11 points, 9 games, your leading scorer. So that group there has been as good as advertised, correct?
Yeah, and maybe even a little bit better than advertised, because, you know, even when you keep going down the draft, and, you know, we got you know, two other of our young guys, you know, that were drafted in the first round. You can see the progression in these guys, and you know, even, you know, some of the other guys that are playing right now. So that draft, and, you know, it always takes a few years to really tell, but early signs, it's very promising.
Now, as of a couple of weeks ago, you were the youngest team in the league. That may or may not be the case because rosters change all the time, but you are certainly among the youngest teams in the league. You're not even averaging 18 years of age. So how do you put that in perspective? Is that an important thing for us to know, or is that a stat that maybe is overrated a bit?
No, I don't think it's reality. You know, it's not overstated at all. We are the youngest team in the league, and we got a lot of good young players, and that's the cycle that we're in. That's the cycle that we want to be in. We wanted to build through the draft, and that's exactly what we're doing. And these players are improving right now. But it's you know, when you look at all those type of stats, and you know, you look at the size, and you look at the height, and you look at our age group, we're right up there. You know, we're one of the youngest team, and we got good size, and we got good weight, so it should bode well for the future.
All right, let's break down the team, what you've seen so far. We're going to start with the forward groups, and, you know, you had Zimmer with Koner and Armstrong, and Height between Hooker and Reichel, and then you've got Bowie and Brown and McAdams and O'Brien, Singer, and Eastman, and you've been mixing it around a little bit, but trying to keep the lines together. Give us an assessment, things that you're pleased with, things that need improvement from your guys up front.
Well, I really like our depth. Improvement comes in all categories. You need improvement in your physicality. You need your improvement in your offensive play. You really need improvement in our defensive play, which I've been really happy with, and we've been working a lot on it. We have an idea how we have to play now, but for the most part, I've really liked, especially the last few weeks, is our depth, and we are a four line team, and we can play four lines. So we got it mixed up pretty good that way, and I don't see that changing.
Power play has struggled. Penalty kill has been excellent. How do you assess special teams?
Well, yeah, special teams are always an ongoing process for sure. Like our power play was really good early and especially in the exhibition season. And our penalty killing struggled, and it's kind of flip-flopped. And, you just got to keep with it. You got to keep trying a few different things, and you got to get some rhythm on it. And it's amazing how that goes. Sometimes you're going through a little streak there where everything's going in, and then sometimes you're starting to squeeze your stick a little bit. But when I look at all these things, percentage is one thing, but you have to look at scoring chances. Are we creating enough? Is there a problem with the breakout? Is it an end zone problem? And you're always tinkering with it. And the same thing with the penalty kill.
Right. I imagine if one is going to be really good and one is going to struggle, you really want to be good on that penalty kill. Now, look, I understand you want to be good on both ends, but penalty kill, it can really excite a team when you kill off penalties. And there were numerous times against Victoria you were 5-on-3. The downside to that is there wasn't necessarily the kind of discipline you were looking for when against Victoria, over the five games, they had 31 power plays, but they only scored twice.
Yeah, that was, that's really impressive. And, we've had a lot of 5-on-3s, 4-on-3s against us, and I think when you're on the flip side, you look at it, we've had 1 5-on-3-4. So we haven't been rolling our power play out in a real a lot of times. And the one game against Victoria, we didn't even get a power play, and numerous times the rhythm part of it too, like we'd be on a power play and then we'd take a penalty and stuff. So our power play really hasn't got going. We certainly have the talent to have a good power play and to be a good power play team. But, our penalty killing, those real long stretches of 5-on-3s and 4-on-3s, those are real tough to kill, and we've been real, real good at it.
All right, let's look at your defense. It's sort of listed as Sampson and Doheniak, sort of the first pair, and Thornton and Commence the second. But I don't know if I've seen much of a difference between that. There is obviously, then we go down to Domanski and Brinson and Reeves. But among that top four group, I think it's sort of interchangeable who's the number one pairing and who's not.
Well, we Sampson and Doheniak get the, they're the matchup pair that, say go against the Stankovens in the top lines. And but, lots of teams have a lot of depth. So you need you really need a top four and for that matter, a top six. The depth that Kamloops has, they got four lines that can go out there and play, pretty much the same way. So you need everybody to chip in on the defensive side. But, for the most part, Doheniak and Sampson are the matchup 2D that we look to shut down the other team.
Yet, and I've been very impressed, and I know you have been, obviously, with Hudson Thornton, because he's an offensive player. He leads the team by far, and plus and minus, I think going into the weekend, he's plus 12, something like that. He's among the top guys in there. And I know you're talking about Doheniak and Sampson being shutdown guys, but when I see the 5-on-3, I'm watching on the ice, I see Thornton on the back end.
Yeah, he's a very competitive kid, and he wants to be an all-around player and an impact player, and he is. And he's really willing to learn. He's all in on everything, as you can see the emotion the other night. Really wants to be. He's just been a pleasure ever since we got him signed and into the hub, and he can only play five games, and he really integrates well with everybody on the team. He is a true leader. His practice habits are great. So I just see improvement coming from this guy.
Yeah, and he's been averaging a point a game. He's an offensive defenseman that can play defense, and what you're referring to is he didn't mind dropping the gloves against Kamloops when things weren't going Prince George's way. So whatever it takes, he's prepared to give you, and you've looked and you said, okay, Hudson, I'm just going to keep throwing you out in the ice.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and he deserves it. And, you know, what people don't see is what, you know, he does in the dressing room and does away from the rink and on the ice in practice. Like, here's a guy that's come in and usually, you know, you got to, you know, push guys into different practice habits. They come from different areas and things are run a little bit differently. But this guy's had it. You know, like, his practice habits, when he's at the rink, he's working and he works hard. And he's a great example for other guys on our team, even though he's basically a rookie.
Yeah, and he's come in. Would you say, and I know you've had a lot of guys you're pleased with, has he been your most pleasant surprise at all? Or I know he'd be among them.
Yeah, he, without a doubt, like he catches your eye every day on certain things that he does. And we have a lot of guys that but we expect it too. Like, we've had some guys that, you know, been around and we're so young. So you see a lot of, you know, one thing that's good about a young team too is they forget, you know, quite easily sometimes. So when you lose a game like that the other night, you know, it's, you know, we had high hopes of winning that game, and everybody did. So it really hurt everybody. But we'll, you know, when we get back, you know, we give the guys a day off, and we get back practicing, they'll forget it, and they'll learn, and they'll just move on, which is a real good thing in this league.
You're listening to CAT Scan. It is brought to you by Integris. Local speaks louder than words. We are speaking with the Prince George Cougars coach and general manager, Mark Lamb. One thing I've noticed in your coaching style, when players make mistakes, and every player makes mistakes, and even big ones that cost you goals, you don't sit them on the bench. You keep putting them back out there. And I think that is something that, you know, a lot of coaches, as a message, when players make too many mistakes, they get sat, those kinds of things. Your philosophy, now, obviously, I only watch the home games. I don't know what goes on in the road, but I don't think things would be much different. Your philosophy is, okay, you make a mistake, the best way to learn is to get right back out there. Am I correct in that assessment?
Yeah, yeah, it really is. You know, usually if they're, you know, you got to give them a few chances to, you know, to, and if it turns into a tendency, then you really, you know, whether you do it on video or you know, other ways and stuff. But, you know, especially when you have a really young team, if you make a mistake and they don't go out there again to try to make it back, you know, they'll lose confidence. And usually you have to make mistakes to get better. You know, that's the thing. You take a face off, you miss a check, and usually the next time they go out there in that same situation and they're going to do it right. So it's a real learning curve for these kids.
When you're breaking down goals against on the film, is it true that every goal of the opposition, there was a mistake made by the team that gave up the goal?
Well, quite often that's the case, or it could be no mistake, and then the goalie makes a mistake. So, you know, something's going wrong somewhere. And then, you know, sometimes it's just a great shot. The goalie doesn't have a chance, and everyone's in position. And, you know, when I break down the scoring chances, sometimes, I do a certain way of breaking down scoring chances in a plus-minus system, and there's a few goals that go in where nobody gets a minus on.
Right. Okay, now let's talk about the goaltending situation. Again, when we had you on the podcast a month ago at the start of this season, we asked about Taylor Gauthier, and at that time you had more than three 20-year-olds. Well, Taylor is one of your three 20-year-olds right now. He is off to a great start. Tyler Brennan, slow start, but has been superb in his last three games. Do you think having Taylor around has helped elevate Tyler Brennan, having superb play his last three?
Well, there's no question. You know, Taylor Gauthier has been a, you know, a great Prince George Cougar for a long time, and he's really grown every year. You know, in terms of turning into a pro, and you know, I really appreciate what Gauthier does. And you know, Brennan's a young goaler that's highly touted. He's a real good goaltender. But when you really look at it, he's very young. He played 15 games a couple years ago. He wasn't able to, play in the hub. He would have got a lot of experience in the hub, and we weren't able to do that. He goes to the under-18s, and he doesn't get any starts. So, I felt bad for him there. But having Gauthier as a 20-year-old to mentor, both of our other goalies, we got young, back in junior A to get him some playing time. So for us, it's an area of strength, and there's nothing wrong with having real good goaltending, that's for sure.
And I think you showed what Taylor Gauthier means to this team, because you know that Brennan, when he's 19 next year, is going to be playing at least 2/3 of the games, if not more. And Brennan came off a shutout. Now, it was against the Victoria, but it was a shutout on a Wednesday. And I know the plan probably was for Gauthier to play against Kamloops. But when a goaltender plays as well as he did in that shutout against the Royals, a 4-0 shutout, it would have been easy to have said, hey, Taylor, like, Brennan played so well, got the shutout, I got to reward him. But you were there, and you looked at the bigger picture and said, no, Taylor deserves to play. Was there much of a decision to have to make there?
It's always a decision, and we have a full-time goalie coach here that's been excellent, and that's one of the biggest things is you can talk. He speaks goalie language, and one of the reasons, when a guy gets a shutout, it's pretty simple just to keep him going, and it's probably the right thing to do. The way the schedule is set up, there's a lot of different factors that go into it. So if Brennan would have played, now Gauthier hasn't played for a couple weeks, and then it gets busy next week. So I think it was just a smart thing to do.
Yeah, and I imagine now the way the schedule comes, you're playing back-to-back on the road, then you come home back-to-back Tuesday, Wednesday, back-to-back Friday, Saturday. It's really set up. You just keep the rotation going, at least for the foreseeable future, in the next 2 to 3 weeks. That's sort of the plan?
Well, yeah, we don't get into it that deep. But one thing we do know is we are very comfortable with playing. It doesn't matter if it's Brennan or Gauthier. It's a luxury. It really is. So, if it works out like that, that's the way it works out. But, when you get traveling and back-to-back games, we think it's a big strength to have two goalies that can go in there and shut out the other team.
All right. Now, we spoke very freely. I know Cougar fans speak very freely, and you've had discussions with Taylor about the possibility that there is a chance he could be moved. Now, the January 10th, the deadline is a way off. That doesn't mean that things will happen. But how do you assess that, where we are now? We're into November. We talked about it in October. You've said very clearly, we're not giving him away for nothing. You've been very clear about that, and I know that's still your approach. How do you sort of look at this situation going forward, the possibility you keep Taylor for the entire season and the possibility you send him to another team?
Yeah, there's still so many unknowns out there in the hockey world, and not just the hockey world, the world. So whenever we look at different trades or anything, we look at everybody, and anything can happen at any given time. We don't know what we're going to do. We talk all the time about different situations where we need help. But one thing I know is that we're very comfortable of where we're at with our goaltending.
With the relationship you have built with Taylor, and you have said it is very, very special, can you sort of take us a little bit into some of the private conversations you've had that you don't mind sharing about, like if you said, hey, we'd like to keep you in Prince George, or if we do move you, we'll make sure it's a contender, or hey, Taylor, what's your thoughts on this? What can you share with us just when it's you and him one-on-one?
Yeah, no, we don't talk about, a contender or trades or anything like that. Taylor's a real smart guy, and he's a true pro. We talk about our team. We talk about, how to improve, where he's at, And a lot of our relationship is talking about stuff that has nothing to do with hockey.
Okay. So you have four official guys on the players to watch list, led by Brennan, who's a B, and then there's Hudson Thornton sort of in that players to watch list as well. So is this a sign of what you have been preaching all along, the word patience, and it's about, we're seeing some signs this season, but it's about to really come together?
Well, that's what we're hoping for, and the signs that we're seeing in the coaching staff and our scouting staff and that have put a lot of work into this hockey team, we're starting to see some positive signs. And we got some really good, exciting young players, and you can see it at different times. Even, you know, there were some exciting times against Kamloops in that first period. You know, their goaltender played very well. We could have been up by one or up by two. You know, going into that. So, and we make some really good plays as a young team. That's very exciting. You know, to coach the team, it's fun. There's a lot of work to do, and there's a lot of patience that's going to come with this. But at the end of the day, everything looks really promising.
It's too big of an assumption early in November just to say that Kamloops is going to be first and Victoria is going to be last, but based on the little bit we've seen, it appears that is the way. And now we look at Prince George and we say, okay, is Prince George sort of number two in the division, three, four? Now, a lot of these games upcoming are going to sort of help set the tone here, because you're going to be seeing a lot of Kelowna. You're going to be seeing a lot of Vancouver. And those are the two teams that you're going to have to finish ahead of if you want to be second. And if you're, you know, in between those teams, you might be third. How do you sort of see where you stack up in that particular grouping?
Well, you know, those are unanswered questions, you know, for sure. I really, you know, I really don't know where we stack up because we haven't played against those teams enough. You know, it's really hard. It's really hard to play in your own division. We're so happy to be playing, you know, that's one thing, and that's the only way we can do it now. But you know, it's really going to come into play when we're just not playing in our own division, when we're playing into the U.S. too, you know, then you're going to get a real good idea of what type of team you have.
And it's not going to be that long before you have, you know, Tri-City come to the CN Center, and then you go on an American road trip where you're in four cities and four nights or something close like that.
Yeah.
Did the guys talk about, is that something, oh, it'd just be so nice to play somebody different?
Absolutely. It is nice. Like you want to go through the league. You want to see different teams, you know, you want to match up against different teams to see how they're doing. You know, and it seems like we've been doing this for a year now. You know, even in the hub, we're playing our own division. We really know our own division, and we know how good some of these teams are. And we know that Vancouver has got a really good team. We know that Kamloops has a real good team. And then us, you know, Kelowna and Victoria and ourselves, we're just trying to find our way. And I can just speak for our team is, you know, we're in the rebuild, and we're probably over the rebuild a little bit, but we're still a very young team trying to find our way, and we still got to keep doing the same thing.
All right, just before we let you go, we always sort of think of the major role that you have in terms of coach, but you're, you know, it's a major role as general manager as well. How much of your time at this time of the season is spent on coaching, and how much of your time is spent on being the GM?
You know, I just balance it all out. You know, I don't miss any GM meetings or conference calls or anything like that. And you know, we've talked about this before. It's just surrounding yourself with the, you know, good staff. I don't have to worry about, you know, Josh Dixon. He's been a head coach before. And before that, we had Jason Smith here. And, you know, it goes right in. We have, you know, Taylor Dake is a full-time goalie coach. And Steve O'Rourke's around all the time and our training staff. Very comfortable. So the biggest thing is surrounding yourself with good people. And then it goes right to, you know, Bob Simmons and our scouting staff. We talk a lot. And the thing with all the technology now, it's not like you're, you know, we haven't been in a live meeting for so long. So you're kind of getting used to working like this. It works well for a guy that's doing both jobs.
Are you ready at all for a Bantam draft in December that's never happened before? And I think the Cougars are 15 this year, so you're not picking near as high as you're used to, and then you go right back at it in May. Does this change anything at all?
No. You're just doing the same thing. You're out there. You got to see the kids. That's exactly what you're doing.
Right. And I'm going to get Bob Simmons on another podcast before the Bantam draft. Of course, he spends all his time doing that. But would this year be as strong as other years? Just as a general rule, is it a little weaker? Do you know yet?
No, I think it's, I was in Red Deer a couple weeks ago, and it looks really strong. It looks really deep, and it'll just be, these kids are a year older, so that's something really different for us. It's kind of exciting because it's different. Anything that's different is exciting.
Right. But it's still nice. Does it seem like it's back to normal? I know the crowds are only allowed at 50% and things like that, and you're seeing a lot of the BC division, but do you sense the normalcy now when you're going and playing?
When you're out there playing, it's normal, but there's a lot of factors in how we travel and how we eat and stuff. And there's, we're staying in hotels. Usually we have a buffet, and there's a lot of different COVID rules. And lots of times the staffing is a big problem in lots of places where we stay. So travel is a lot different and a lot tougher right now still.
I appreciate your time, and we'll keep in touch. We'll have you on another podcast later in the Cougars season as the Cougars season develops. Appreciate it and take care.
Yeah, anytime. Thank you.
Our thanks again to Prince George Cougars coach and general manager Mark Lamb. You have been listening to CatScan, brought to you by Integris. Local speaks louder than words.